Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You are now entering a critical thinking zone. Thinking caps are required beyond this point. From deep behind enemy lines, deep in the heart of the Midwest, it's your host, Andrew Coppins. And it's time for Critical Thinking.
Welcome on into Critical Thinking. It is the 18th of August, year of our Lord, 2022. I'm Andrew Coppins. He is Pat Oney. You know the drill by now. You can watch on Rumble. You can download via podcast wherever you find your podcasts. Make sure you are downloading, you're rating, you're reviewing. Folks, that is literally how we get recognized by more and more people. And correct me if I'm wrong, Pat. The goal here is to build a movement of people who like to critically think through the news, through the culture, through the things that are happening within America and the world writ large. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, in an ideal world, yeah, that would be what we're trying to do. But with the way the world's going, I'm feeling like critical thinking is a skill that is lacking among many.
Right. So make critical thinking great again, or right, whatever you want to do it. But right, you can always follow us on social media, and if you're watching on Rumble, you know exactly how to do so. He is at the Pat Oney Show. I'm at the Coppins Show, except for on Instagram. Instagram, we have a show account that is at Critical Thinking Show. So follow along with us, discuss throughout the day. We love to engage with you guys. With that being said, this is a Deep Dive Thursday. We're going to have a couple of topics on this shorter Deep Dive Thursday. So why don't we get into it, Pat? Because you presented an article, at least the headline of this article drew me in from Intellectual Takeout, and it's how, when do we come together again? Or put another way, Pat, I think the way that I would have phrased this headline is, what does a unified America look like?
Yeah. It's a question I think a lot of people are asking. It's...
I want to stop right there. I want to stop right there.
Okay.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that this is a... something that is unifying? Why do you say that a lot of people are asking that question?
Well, I say that because when I talk to friends, families, neighbors, and any semblance of politics comes up, one of the things that they often say is that we are the most divided that we've ever been, ever.
Okay.
And a lot of them ask this question, what does it take?
What does it take and for what?
What does it take for, what would it take for America to unite again? To be less divided. What would it take to do that?
Okay. I see your lived experience. I really do. Mm-hmm. My thing with this is that I live in a completely ultra liberal city.
Right.
And
so you're different. You're going to have a very different experience than I'm going to have.
Right. And that's my point. I wonder if you experiencing people asking that question is more about lived experience than actual experience, because I firmly believe that most people in America are not considering this topic at all. And they should, because we have the powerful elite inside the GOP hating its own base.
Right.
We have a lack of faith in any of the institutions in this country. And we're going to get into that in a little bit in more detail. We have a lack of faith in this country. And I find it not ironic, not happenstance. I find it almost prophetic that as we have been trying to think through these questions ourselves, Pat, that I have been reading The American Story, The Beginning by David Barton and his brother. And it's shorter chapters and it's easy to digest material because it's just a lot of source material and understanding. But what do most Americans think of from the time of the Pilgrims in Jamestown to 1776? What are most Americans' thought processes when it comes to that? That we were a unified group of people with a unified message and liberty, you know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness from the time of the Pilgrims to 1776 as we fight this war, right, for independence.
It was a minority of people, though.
I'm not going down that road. Because the reality of what took place from Plymouth and Jamestown, which were two completely different types of colonies, by the way. One of them thrived and the other didn't, right? The other one went away. The Jamestown colony, it literally devolved into cannibalism. It devolved into starvation, death, war with Indians, and all that, right? Whereas the Plymouth colony, while blown way off course from where they wanted to go, right, ends up in a place that is vastly different. The quote-unquote stolen land was once occupied by a tribe that had been wiped out just prior to their arrival, by the way, wiped out by disease. Completely wiped out by disease that was already in America, or what we would call America later on, right? They arrive there. They find a friendly tribe who happens to have somebody who speaks English because he had been captured and was in England, learned the English language, was able to help foster growth and whatever, right? But from those two divergent points, we also see Maryland, Pennsylvania, all of the differing colonies, right? All of them founded on different things, right? The Plymouth way of life, the Puritan way of life, very different than the Quaker way of life, than the Anglican way of life, than what was happening in Maryland, where Catholicism was a big thing, Delaware, where there was a plurality of religion, Connecticut formed because they wanted something different than Massachusetts. The point is that there was a lot of diversity of religion when it comes to Christianity, okay, coming to America. But in between all of that foundational time frame and 1776, most people don't know that these colonies went way off course. Way off course. Just debauchery, death, war, fighting. It was insane. The times were really insane and really intense. Then there was another spiritual awakening in America called the First Great Awakening. Most of us learn about the Great Awakening of the 1830s, 40s, right? Most of us learn about that in our course of our American history courses that we get in school. At least I did. I don't know about you.
But, no, I did.
But I want people to understand this. This country has, this is not unique to our time. And that's my point.
No, it's not.
We are not living in necessarily unique times. America has experienced the need for awakening, the need for unity, the need for betterment.
Revival.
We have fallen into the spirit of the age. And the spirit of the age is not just a metaphor for today. This is a metaphor for the devil's work being done in whatever age it exists. The spirit of the age of the time of, you know, the pilgrims, right? That spirit of the age would have been the absolutely despotic religious reign of the King of England and monarchy in general throughout Europe. That would have been the spirit of that age. The spirit of the age of the 1960s. Clearly, we know what that is, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What was the spirit of the age of the 1940s, right? Or the 1900s, really, or then early, all the way through about 1950, let's say, the first half of the century. Eugenics, Nazi, right? All of those things were the spirit of the age. And the spirit of the age took hold almost everywhere, by the way. We, here in America, were holding Nazi rallies in the 1920s and 30s. Madison Square Garden famously, infamously, held one of the largest Nazi rallies in the world. And we don't talk about that.
Never talk about it.
We don't talk about the fact that America was not united at certain points in our history. And we don't do that because we like to tell the fairy tale. Of unity.
And then the spirit of the age evolved into communism.
Mm-hmm. And we're still fighting that kind of tyranny.
Right.
And then we find the tyranny of the 1760s, right? The 1756 to 1780s, if you will, which a minority of people stood up and said, no, we're not taking that. And they won. They beat back their spirit of the age. So ultimately what I come down to is, as to your point, Pat, people talk about how do we unify? What does unity look like? For me, they're asking the wrong question. We don't have to be unified. We have to have commonality. And we have to agree upon the rules. That's not unity. We have to agree that we're playing in the same sandbox. That's all we have to do. Because I, as a libertarian, you as more conservative, the other person being more liberal, as long as we agree that this is the sandbox that we play in, as long as we believe in certain principles and we don't violate that in the pursuit of our political, philosophical ideals, and as long as we are not enforcing things that are outside the bounds of that sandbox, that's all we need for unity. Right? That's all we need. That's not unity, though. What that is diversity and principle at work. How did we get to the unity of 13 individual colonies coming together, right, to fight in a revolutionary war? And oh, by the way, 11 of the 13 colonies founded on Christianity, period. That was the unity. It was we're playing in the sandbox of natural rights given to us by Christianity, vis-a-vis the Ten Commandments, vis-a-vis whatever, right? If you look at almost all early law written here, it had everything to do with following commandments, following the tenets of Christianity, right? That was the quote-unquote unity, but there was a large disagreement about how to practice that unity, right? The Quaker movement, all of the things that we've talked about, the differences in sects of Christianity that existed. There were still vast differences between the people, vast and sometimes really dangerous differences, to the point where they would go and fight kind of differences. But they always came back to this, the unifying principles of the Bible, the unifying principles of Christianity, the unifying principles of that natural rights, that unifying principle of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, if you will.
The interesting part, because I mean, you're talking about faith, religion, uniting people. We were a very different nation in those times, though, in that were we as secular as we are today? Right. I would argue no.
Oh, 100% you are correct. 100%. We're living through different times. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. We are living through a much more secular time. And the spirit of today's age is secular, right? The spirit of the olden age had much more to do with less with a worldview battle and more of a how battle, if you will, right? Monarchy versus freedom or whatever. We're dealing with very, very biblical times right now. We are dealing with spiritual warfare. We are dealing with a worldview type of a situation here. That's what we're dealing with, and it's vastly different. But all of this is to say, for me, we're asking the wrong questions. We're asking the wrong questions. We're looking to the wrong people to find these solutions. The solutions are us. We know this. We have to know this. Because as I talk about in Reviving Liberty all the time, why am I focusing in on your relationship with God? Why am I focusing in on you getting right with your principles? You being prepared, you being a pillar of that beacon of individual liberty, right? You being a thing that spreads and grows liberty. It's because that's the only way here, because it's a worldview fight. And if you don't believe in the worldview of liberty and you don't believe in the worldview that is being stamped out right now, and you can't stand up and fight for it, it's all lost. It has nothing to do with life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, per se. While those are good tenets and good things to understand, it has to do with, do you believe in self-governance? Do you believe in natural rights? Do you believe in personal freedom and economic freedom? Those four things. Ask yourself those four things. And we are not asking ourselves those four things as a society. Why? Because we are looking to everybody else to solve our problems, everybody else to be the answer. And we're unwilling as a larger society to take those steps, to look internally, to ask ourselves those hard questions and do something about it. And a prime example of this, Pat, is very simple. Do you have an HOA? If you do,
no.
Are you involved in the HOA? Do you have a block committee, right? Are you involved in that committee? Are you involved in Neighborhood Watch? Are you involved in the simplest of governance in your society, wherever you live? Are you involved by going to town meetings? Are you involved by voting in those elections? Are you involved by running for your school board or paying attention to what the school board is doing? Are you asking questions of your child's teachers, right? Are you demanding curriculum? Are you demanding this? Are you willing to stand? Are you willing to do something? Are you willing to be active? And by and large, no, because we just assume other people know more than you or I might know about a certain subject. So let's leave it to them. How's that been working out? So how do we come together? How do we unify? The only way that we unify, in my viewpoint, is by actually having this fight, this worldview fight. Two worldviews enter. One is absolute tyranny. The other is liberty. And we duke it out. It's going to get messy. It's going to get ugly. And what happens if we don't like the result? That is the question that we have to ask ourselves. For me, you know, Pat, this article brings up some good points here. You know, talking about extremism, talking about the 1960s, talking about George Floyd, right? So I want you to think about this, because in certain surveys that are out there, as the article points out, confidence in the Supreme Court is down to 25%, falling by a third. Only a fourth of the country retained high confidence in the presidency, so one in four. Confidence plummeted to just 7% for Congress. One in every 14 Americans is quote-unquote confident in Congress. One in six have great confidence in our newspapers, and only one in nine believe the same thing about television news. In other words, if we were to poll the American people about all of the institutions, if you will, all of the things that are supposed to be the guidepost, the sandbox, the institutions that help us form the society we live in, right? Can you name a single institution, including academia, by the way? He doesn't even talk about that in this article. Can you name anything that the American people can grasp onto and believe to be good, right, and righteous? Because it's not the church. Less than 50% of people believe the church is healthy. What? So my answer to this, Pat, is we have to have a third great awakening. And that great awakening can be spiritual, but it must be worldview. So the churches must stand up for liberty. We must demand that liberty is the guidepost. And we can disagree about how best to institute that liberty. But if we are unwilling to fight for that, the spirit of the age wins. And the national divorce happens, because there is no way in hell the Alabama, by and large, or Mississippi, or, you know, pick deep red America, right, is going down the road of all of those woke things. Now, do some of them exist in those areas? Absolutely. But it's the most liberal, little tiny part of those areas that this is happening in. It's either we have the fight, we have a great awakening, whether that's spiritual or intellectual, or we're dead. That's my reality. What say you?
Well, you and I think, had a lot of the very similar thoughts. I will say one thing in regards to this article. I didn't find much substance to it.
No, it had a lot of potential, right? Lots of potential, right, here, because it is an important thing.
Right.
But at the end of the day, was there a solution offered? No. It's just, here's all the things that I want to bitch about.
Right. I mean, the most important paragraph is probably the last one, and it's a paragraph that just asks a few questions. But from what listening to you for the last few minutes, those questions really seem kind of moot.
Yeah. Do they matter?
And so my thing is this. I live in a very different area than you do. And so I think there are people, especially in areas like where I live, are wanting some semblance of having this, this dissatisfied, this ununifying, this disruptive narratives of life.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. They want to go back to their lives. They want to be left alone. They want to feel like the country is in a good place and that everyone is unified again. Not saying that they agree on every issue,
mm-hmm,
because that'll never happen. but that they have some semblance, like they can play in that same sandbox, build their own sandcastle, and not be, not have their progress and their way of life trampled on by somebody else.
Yeah, and that sandbox metaphor is great, right? I can build my sandcastle how I want. You don't have a right to come tear it down because you don't like how you to live.
Right.
And I look at that from the perspective of, so there's a difference between evangelizing, running a mission, right? And literally forcing my worldview or forcing my Christianity down somebody's throat and making them either you are Christian or submit. That's not what I'm talking about. I can live in a society in which, okay, you don't believe in Christianity, but you believe in all of the pillars that Christianity has given us, all of the natural rights, all of the sandbox, right? Do you believe in the sandbox? And that's why we look at that one woman, right, that was asked about Roe versus Wade in the Constitution, right? And she readily admits that's not just a one-off. And we've talked about this in the past. And I keep going back to that because I want people to understand she is that is a representative statement for a lot of people that are on the left today. She said out loud what they actually believe. It just so happened to be said on camera for the first time in a very long time. If you sit down with somebody on the far left, who might be diametrically opposed to you, but you ask them basic questions about the Constitution, about republicanism, about, and I don't mean the GOP, I mean the republic for which we are supposed to stand. You ask them about, do they believe in personal freedom? Do they believe in economic freedom? Do they believe in, like we talked about the billionaires, right? Yesterday on the program, where an individual literally says that billionaires shouldn't exist. Why? Right? Those are the types that is one worldview. It's incongruent to the other. They don't believe that you have the right to do that should you choose.
So I guess the better question is, I mean, because we're using the sandbox metaphor, it seems like here.
Right.
You know, what is the sandbox now? What is it?
That's where we're at, and that's the point. I don't know if you can come back unless we actually physically have these conversations as my fellow Americans. And I had somebody, man, you must be a lot of fun at parties. Oh, I'm a whole hell of a lot of fun. But I also take seriously a role that we all have to play in either cooling the temperature or accelerating. And what do I mean by that? If somebody else is having a conversation at a party, right? Am I just supposed to sit there and let them disparage liberty and talk insane? No. But I don't have, my responsibility would be to confront with meekness, right? Ask them the questions that we are asking you to ask other people. Do you believe that somebody should be economically free? Do you believe in natural rights? Do you believe in the Constitution? Do you believe that these things are good, right, and just? If you don't, we live in separate societies, and I don't need to converse with you anymore. If you, through the course of that conversation, actually think and go, yeah, you know, I do believe in those things. Okay, then why do you believe what you just spoke about, right? Why did you say those things? Unfortunately, we live in some very serious times. And there are times for fun. We have lots of fun on the show, Pat, right?
Lots of fun. Absolutely.
You know what we don't do, though? We don't shirk our responsibility to stand up for critical thinking, to stand up for liberty, to stand up for the principles of natural rights, of self-governance, of personal responsibility and freedom. And economic freedom, We just don't.
So I agree with the idea that I don't know that we can just unify again, because we don't even know what the sandbox is. We don't even know what those principles are that we could all simply unify around. That being said, I mean, I don't think we're necessarily headed towards a national divorce either. I don't foresee that being allowed to just happen. So where do you go from here? How do you get back? We need a great awakening, but how do you spark that great awakening to happen?
Well, that's what Reviving Liberty is about, right? I'm giving you that blueprint to spark it, because it is internal. And that's what I want people to understand. Now, I also agree with you, Pat. The argument of our government is that, well, we can add whatever we want. We can't subtract whatever we want, right? Like, we can add whatever state, whatever principality, not principality, but whatever territory, whatever. We can do that, right? We get to do that all we want, but... Oh, hell no. Once you join the union, you ain't getting out.
Right.
Now, alternatively, to answer the question about the spark, my fear is that it's something violent, one way or the other. Whether that is something violent done towards people of that liberty mindset, or something done by the absolute fringe that will be able to be used as, see, those liberty-minded people are all extremists. That is my worry. And that's why I talk about, how do you tamp down the temperature? How do you do that? It is by having conversations. That's how you do it. And conversations can be confrontational. They can be heated. But they can't be violent. We have to have these in our own communities. Because it's not just red state, blue state. It's literally 60-40 or 51-49 in every community in America, almost.
Right. The interesting part, because you're bringing up, like, well, this is going to end up in violence pretty much no matter what we do. This idea that's what could have very well happened, and that's part of my fear as well. But my other fear is, what if this happens via like a Pearl Harbor or a 9/11? Is it going to be something like that unites us? Is it going to be something like with Taiwan or Ukraine or something along those lines, to where it involves us in such a way that unites us? I don't know that I want to go down those roads either, because we're just not in a great position to be able to fight those battles. And especially when we hear, as a country, I don't know if you've seen like the Avengers Infinity War or Avengers Endgame or anything like that, but what breaks them up is, and what makes them lose, is that the Avengers break up for a time. They're not unified. It takes unity and a desperate effort to finally win at the end of the day. Can America do something like that? I don't know. I truly don't know. Culturally speaking, we are in some serious trouble. And yes, you and I talk about reviving liberty, and I think that is a great spark for our culture today. Don't get me wrong. But there are going to be those that, no matter what we do, are going to refuse to be a part of that, that are going to reject it. And then not only will they reject it, they will fight tooth and nail for the spirit of the age. And so what kind of dark road does that take us down?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, Pat. I think I try to also frame it this way when we talk about liberty, when we talk about these things. Liberty is light. Tyranny is darkness. If you want to go down these roads. But sometimes, in order for that light to shine, you've got to dig deep into some darkness. You have to be willing, and I talked about it this week on the show. You have to be willing to be confrontational. That's dark, right? You have to be willing to say no. No, no, nope. I don't care what you're saying. I don't care what you want. I don't care about your I want a culture. I don't care. We're not doing that. Me and my kids are going out of your school. We're doing this. We're doing that. Nope. You need to take a position in your church. I'm not Protestant, but I know that a lot of Protestant churches have like elders or whatever in their church, right? You need to become one of them. You need to stand up to your pastor and say, where in the hell is the light? Why are we talking about wokeness? What you need to, if you want to make that light shine, the church is where it starts. It has always started there in America. That is the lesson that I hope you understand about what I was talking about early on in the show when I brought up the example of the time from the pilgrims to the spirit of 76, if you will. It was darkness, light. Lightness gave us the spirit of 65 and or 56 into all the way into the revolution, right? And whom influenced the Son of Liberty, the Sons of Liberty? You know who did it? George Whitefield. Who is George Whitefield to American history? If you don't know, you look it up. He was a pastor who preached to thousands of people at a time, all throughout the country, literally evangelizing across the country in the 1700s, folks. I want you to think about that. Evangelizing to crowds of 5, 7, as large as 9,000 people. The influence of the Sons of Liberty was from the pulpit. It always comes from there. At least if you believe in a liberty mindset, in a liberty movement. Why? Because for us, believers, even if you're a non-believer, who gave us the ultimate sign of liberty? Jesus Christ. We were liberated for our sin. He died on a cross. That's the ultimate sign of liberty. He took on all of our sin so that our sin be forgiven, right? He took it on so that we have that liberty. Liberty is literally coming. All history tells us this. It's not about nostalgia for me, Pat. It's not. It has nothing to do with nostalgia. It has everything to do with our ability to take a look at the blueprint that was set up, right? How do we always talk about this. Those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it, right? We talk about this all the time. The reason that exists is because history sometimes gives us a blueprint of what is successful and what is unsuccessful. And can you take the broader blueprint and move it into your time for the spirit of this age? That's the question we need to ask. We don't need a spirit of 76 in this country. We really don't. We really don't, Pat. What do we need? We need the spirit of the age of 65. The spirit of the age where the Sons of Liberty said, no more. The spirit of the age shall not pass anymore. Oh, sure. They attempted things, right? But we did mass, the Boston Tea Party. We did all of these things, right? All the way until we actually went through a revolution. Simply because they were taught to stand up, to show power, to make the other side, the spirit of the age side, cower in the fear that we are cowering in right now. Make no mistake about it, Pat. We are far, far, far too weak. And how do I know it? How many of us, despite all the science, despite all these things, said, you know what? You know what? I'm going to put that mask on to go here or do this. We made that physical decision. I did it. I didn't want to get fined $250 just simply walking out of my unit without a mask on during the height of the COVID restrictions. I didn't feel like that every single time. $250. I want you to think, like, I thought about that. I was that weak. But I also didn't have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to say no, no, nope. Or more importantly, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to take on my own HOA. Or the public health department here in Chicago.
But at the same time, like, I hear what you're saying because I found myself in similar positions.
Right.
At the same time, there are other ways to fight.
Oh, exactly. 100%. And that's where I was going with this, right? We love liberty, you know, everybody with an American flag on their show or their podcast and blah, 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 blah. What have you done to fight the fight? That can be an internal thing. It can be an external thing. What have you changed about yourself? What have you become in tune to? What have you been willing to stand up for? What is that red line, if you will? What is that thing that is you shall not pass? I don't know. Now, do you want to end today's show with a little B or not the B, Pat?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. All right, so today's headline is kindergarten teacher asks kids what gender they want to be when they grow up. Kindergarten teacher asks kids what gender they want to be when they grow up. And while you are thinking about whether that is the B or not the B, Pat, I encourage every single one of you to visit small businesses. The next step on the path towards reviving liberty is to do business with those that won't insult you. Do business with those that won't insult you. There's a great business that will not insult you. They may make fun of you, but they're not going to insult your intelligence. They're not going to insult their customer. And that is American Pride Roasters, historically great coffee. Go to AmericanPrideRoasters.com, the official coffee of critical thinking. That's right, the official coffee of critical thinking, AmericanPrideRoasters.com. Check out the coffee drops. Check them out. DMX and DM and those involved in that business are slowly ramping things back up. It's amazing what the devastation of a tornado can do. How devastating a tornado could be, I should say. But they're back up. They're running. They're doing their business. So again, AmericanPrideRoasters.com, historically great coffee. Endorsed here on Critical Thinking. All right, Pat, do you need the headline one more time?
No, because that was a softball. I'm going to hit this one out of the park. It's going to be a grand slam.
Okay, Pat, let's be real. If you did anything, it was probably hit one out of the infield.
You know, I find your lack of faith disturbing.
But you also find my lack or my dead on honesty, frightening.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Yeah, a little bit because I didn't play baseball growing up. So, yeah. So, in other words, I'll slam dunk it. Let's do that.
You can't jump, Pat.
How do you know? Have you ever seen me play?
Have you seen the documentary White Men Can't Jump?
It's not a documentary.
What?
That is not a documentary.
I thought that was about like Los Angeles, playground basketball culture.
It was, but it was also about a dude gambling his life away playing basketball. Yeah.
So you're telling me that wasn't real.
Right. And I'm pretty sure Woody Harrelson can't play ball like that. Yeah. So I'm going to slam dunk this one. This is the Babylon Bee.
You are correct. Now, I have So here's the thing. They chose Winnetka, Illinois, as the byline.
Uh-huh.
Do you know any piece of trivia that involves Winnetka, Illinois?
I've never heard of Winnetka, Illinois, let alone knowing a
piece of
trivia.
So there's two things. Have you ever watched The League from FX?
No.
The show about fantasy football and like the friends and all that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, number one, they all went to their lifelong friends, graduated from North Winnetka High. Not a real high school, by the way, but yes. Okay. So suburbs, right? Winnetka, Illinois.
Okay.
Here's the other piece of trivia. Winnetka, Illinois is also the home of the Home Alone house.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's that movie was filmed in that house.
Is it a suburb of Chicago?
Yeah. And thirdly, I have great friends of mine who moved from the city to Winnetka, Illinois, and live a block and a half away from that house. So the other piece of trivia here is I'm going to be able to ask them if this is true or not, too, by the way, because I have a feeling that some kindergarten teacher would actually do this. But according to sources in Winnetka, Illinois, a local kindergarten teacher, Marion Buntley, helped to expand her young students' minds by asking them to draw a picture of what gender they want to be when they grow up. Quote, "Okay, kids, I want you to use your imagination," said Buntley to the confused children. "You can be any gender you want. What gender would you like to be someday?" Witnesses say one student, who is allegedly a boy, raised his hand and asked, "What's gender, Mix Buntley?" "Nobody knows, Timmy," replied the teacher. "Gender can mean literally anything because gender means nothing. Just draw a picture of your heart's deepest desire, and I'll get the GSA counselor and Planned Parenthood clinician to start your transition immediately." The assignment confirmed that the class held 4 butterflies, 6 dinosaurs, 2 G.I. Joes, 7 trees, 5 Nintendo Switches, 2 cookies, 3 pizzas, and 1 pirate stabbing another pirate. At publishing time, the teacher had recorded a TikTok video bragging that all 30 of her students were now members of the LGBTQ+ community. That's probably the most the real thing. You know that. And again, one of the things that I talk about in Reviving Liberty, Pat, is do what? Shine a light. We don't even have to do that anymore. Honest to God, all we have to do is look for what they talk about, because they are literally dying to get in front of a camera. And that's how I know that that is rotted. That's how I know that that is not good culture. Good culture doesn't care about being viral all the time. Doesn't care about this, the self-importance to get on TikTok to let everybody know about your gender, to let everybody know about how you groom your students, your kids, as they like to call them. That's how I know that that's rotted. If you're a good teacher, it's one thing to talk about your teaching technique, or one thing to, hey, I had this really cool experience or whatever. That's different.
Right.
That is a different thing than I'm bragging about literally doing something to my students. Do you know what I'm saying? A normal teacher doesn't care about that. The normal teacher cares about impacting the life and the education of the student and going about their day. Like Mrs. Pat, for example. I don't see Mrs. Pat getting on TikTok and being like, "Hey, man, you know what I did today to my students?" No. But these people can't help themselves. They just have to get in front of a camera to let you know just how LGBTQ plus LMNOP, tip tilde, ampersand, plus sign they are, and how influential they are to their students' lives, because that's their virtue. They get virtue out of that, right?
Right.
Could definitely see this actually happening in Winnetka, Illinois. Totally could see it. So I'll ask and report back later.
I mean, can you also not see a kindergarten teacher asking her kids what gender they want to be when they grow up at this point in time? Whether it's in Winnetka or in some other crazy place, Can you seriously tell me that you can't see a kindergarten teacher actually asking her little kids that?
I can.
Because I can totally see it happening.
Now, I want to leave you with this headline, Pat. 44% of pregnancies lost during Pfizer's COVID vaccine trial. Company says vax is not to blame. They have Nuremberg. No proof. And won't Nuremberg. Provide any of the information to tell us.
Nuremberg.
44% of pregnancies were lost during the Pfizer COVID vaccine trial. I'm going to give you a hint, Pfizer and the CDC. Just going to give you a quick hint on this one.
Yep.
We don't lose 44% of our pregnancies as a country. That doesn't effing happen.
Like I said, Nuremberg.
And you want us to believe with a straight face that, oh, yeah, no. Vaccines were not to blame. How do you know? Show us your proof. Show us your work. Oh, wait, you still haven't done that. They won't respond to anybody in the media asking them questions about this. They won't respond to the government. They are non-responsive. Why? Think about this, Pat. If you wanted to go down the road of depopulating the world, what would you do differently? What would you do differently than send out a vaccine that has high mortality rate for pregnancies? Because we don't even know how these pregnancies were or what happened. Was it they were injected? Because everybody except for 8 people that were pregnant in this Pfizer trial received the vaccine at one point in time during their pregnancy. 44% of those people lost their pregnancies? Do you understand, even in that small subset, Pat, even in that small group of people, how rare it is for that to happen?
Yeah.
You didn't even explore the correlation to figure out if it's causation? You didn't do that? If you wanted to go down the road to depopulation, what would you do any different? What would you do any different?
I don't know that I'd do a damn thing other than make it more effective.
And with that, Pat, your final thoughts.
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And I find Andrew Coppin's lack of faith disturbing in my basketball abilities.
The truth hurts, Pat. Please be smart, be safe, be kind. As always, Matthew 5:47.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.